Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and welcome. I thank you for listening in and for joining into our study today. Today we're going to study God's Word concerning X-Rated for Christians and continue in our study of the letter X. And just to recap a little bit, the last thing that we talked about was gambling. The thing prior to that was drinking alcohol, being X-rated for Christians. The Bible does not say, thou shalt not drink alcohol. It does not say, thou shalt not gamble. The Bible doesn't say it. It doesn't talk about it. But it talks about all of the things that are involved in the Christian's life, in the believer's life, that these things affect. So today we're going to move into, by the way, did you throw your lucky rabbit foot away? Just kidding. Today we're going to get into, that wasn't a very good joke, was it? Anyway, let's move on. Why Christians don't smoke. This is going to be a shorter study than the other two that we've been involved, that was studied prior to this. This is going to be, I think it's going to be a shorter study. It's a little bit less material, and the Bible is just plain in several areas concerning this matter. The Bible does not say, thou shalt not smoke. It does say Rebecca lighted off her camel. I got you there, didn't I? It does say that, but it wasn't talking about no camel cigarette, though, was it? Okay. Somebody told me that one time, and it's kind of corny, but I thought I'd throw it in there. Why Christians don't smoke. Now, smoking, like any other drug, and cigarette, tobacco is, you say, well, just like all them hippies used to say all the time, well, it's natural. It grows. It's a thing of the earth. It's of nature. And it grows. Well, so does poisonous plants, too. How come you don't smoke them? Because they'll kill you, that's why. You know, God expects us to use some common sense and act like grown-ups and to grow and to mature. And the Bible says that the way that we tell that our brothers and sisters are growing in the Lord and maturing in the Lord and becoming elders in the Lord and grown-ups in the Lord, as far as spirituality goes, is that they are able to discern good and evil. They get better and better at picking what is right and what is wrong. Now, the world's not going in that direction at all. The world's going the opposite direction as fast as the ones that are affected by it will let them. The devil is dragging everybody into this relative state to where there is no wrong and there is no right, there is no good and there is no evil. Everything is relative. It's related. I mean, what affects you might not affect me, and what affects me might not affect you. And let's just all get together and have one big pot of goo with each other, and all of us just get along. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches tells you to stay away from evil things, and it has polarities. The Bible teaches north, south, salt, pepper, black, white, east, west, north, south, good, bad, polarities. Now, smoking, like any other drugs, controlling and powerful. And I'm not telling you, I can tell you this by experience. I used to be a smoker. I was a three-packer a day. And the Lord took them from me. One day, I didn't have anything to do. I didn't have any plans on quitting. Just, I remember one day that I walked in, I walked into the house, and I took them pack of cigarettes out, and I threw them on the counter, and I said, that's it. Ain't touching them no more. And the Lord did that for me. I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. And if you told the truth, they have control over you, too, if you're smoking. And if you're sitting here listening to this and you're Christian and you smoke, there's a lot of Christians that smoke and are going to keep on smoking and continue smoking. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke. But what we're going to go over today, you need to consider is God's mind concerning this thing and what you're going to do about it. Nobody said it was easy. But are you willing? But are you willing? And remember we talked about having to do with the alcohol, and we had talked about having to do with the gambling, that if there be a willing mind, then God will get involved in it, and he'll back you up, and he'll give you the strength to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but that flesh loves cigarettes. And if you start giving, that flesh loves anything that if you give it to it. If you give that flesh cigarettes, it's going to remember the cigarettes if it likes it, and it's going to ask you for them cigarettes all the time. If you give that flesh sex, it's going to ask you for that, and it's going to bother you for that for the rest of your life, and you're going to have a problem with that until you get God involved in it and get the Spirit and get God the Holy Ghost involved in it where he can overpower them things of the flesh. You see? And the flesh wants anything. It wants anything it can get. It's always after something. The Bible says the flesh is, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And it says there's no good thing in the flesh. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Jesus said, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He didn't say your flesh wasn't going to lust. He said that you wouldn't fulfill it. So the way that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh that are aggravating us and bothering us all the time. Now, if you get to where you step on your flesh's neck and it knows that you're going to put the that you're going to let the Spirit have control all the time, and your flesh realizes that, it'll leave you alone a little bit more than it will if you're catering to it and providing for the flesh and making provision for the flesh, you see. And it will. It'll get less, the flesh's power will die off and leave you alone if you'll walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill. But it's always there to resurrect itself if you mess with it. That's why they say it only takes one to get started again. Well, what do you mean it only takes one? Because that flesh remembers it and it says, aha! And up it comes. Hey, we're smoking again. Yum, yum. That's that flesh. That's that flesh. Now, smoking like any other drugs is controlling and it's powerful. It's powerful. People walk around pointing the finger and say, you ought to just quit smoking. I quit smoking. They just run in their trap. Maybe they did quit smoking, but they ought to be praising God for giving them the power to do it. Because anybody that's telling the truth ain't got power over them cigarettes. Especially when the flesh is lusting after them. Man, I don't know about you, but when I was smoking, when my spirit should have been saying, okay, well, let's pray and let's go read God's word and let's get spiritual and get a spiritual mind going today and this, that, and the other. That ain't what happened. As soon as I woke up, my flesh said, I want a cigarette. Yeah. And so does yours if you've had anything to do with the flesh as far as cigarette goes. It's controlling. It's powerful. And there's a lot of things that's powerful. That alcohol is powerful. We know that. How come? Because of flesh. How come the gambling's powerful? Because of the flesh and the lusts. And that's why so many Christians have real problems in this area. You say, well, you wouldn't be smoking if you wasn't a Christian. Nah, watch out now. Watch out. Watch out. Smoking and other harmful drugs should be abstained from in your life. That's what the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not smoke cigarettes or smoke cigars. Man, I tried some of them nasty things, like to turn me green as the green, what's that green, the Dr. Seuss green, what was his name? I don't remember, but it was green. It turned me green. And that chewing tobacco turned me green. I fooled with that snuff for a while, spitting all over the United States. But even that tobacco in your lip, and that tobacco, that chew in your jaw and everything else, that flesh loves that stuff. It loves that stuff. And it's hard to quit. But as a Christian and walking for the Lord, why Christians should not smoke? How come? Just because you're a Christian and you ought to put on a good show and blah, 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 blah. No, it ain't about that. Your walk as a Christian is between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Your conscience, having to do with your conscience before the Lord and your conscience before men. If you have to hide something in front of men, your conscience is offended. If you have to hide anything from God, your conscience is offended. And the Lord says that He wants us to walk with a clear conscience. God knows what you're doing. He knows what your flesh wants, and He knows how hard you're fighting or not fighting. He knows why you smoke cigarettes. And He knows whether or not you have a desire to quit and to obey Him. But let's look and see what the Bible says concerning this matter of cigarettes or smoking and things like that. There's three reasons that kind of put it all together, what the Bible's talking about, when it's talking about why Christians ought not smoke. If we're going to talk about cigarettes and smoking and stuff like that, and that seems to be a big part, especially in this world today, with all the stinking depression and all the sin getting out in the open and all the children killing each other and hanging themselves and all the stinking goo of all the perversion that's in your face and out in front of everything now and flaunting itself, it causes Christians problems to where they have to have where they think the devil just has a little bit more advantage in that way, to where he can talk us into trying to get something to kind of nullify some of that stuff, rather than us relying on God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. You see, that's why it's so very important for you to be completely and utterly on one side or the other and quit straddling the fence. Because when you straddle the fence, you give the devil opportunity. You give the devil a device against you. You give him something he can use to... I mean, the devil will give you something to relieve the pain and make it just a little bit easier on you as a Christian. The Bible talks about Christians suffering, and the reason that they suffer is because they're following in the Lord Jesus Christ's steps and the Apostle Paul's and the Apostle's steps and denying themselves. That's suffering, and that's another reason that Christians don't stop doing things that they ought to quit doing, is because they're suffering in it. Because you got to fight that stinking flesh. And that ain't no fun. It ain't no fun. But there's three reasons. We're going to round this up, round it out to about three different reasons what the Scriptures are talking about when it's talking about God's mind concerning this smoking thing. The first thing is for physical reasons. For physical reasons. There ain't no secret about tobacco and what it does to the human body as far as physiological. Lung cancer kills a whole bunch of folks, and it's a miserable death. You see that coronavirus going around, and I mean, people with lung cancer when they start getting that mess, I mean, it's the end. You either go on an iron lung or you die, and you can't breathe no more. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and what flows through the blood? Oxygen. Where do you get oxygen? By breathing. And how do you breathe? With them organs the Lord give you, them lungs. So what else would the devil do? Try to throw some tobacco up in your face and give you a little satisfaction out of it, mentally and physically, and ruin your lungs in the meantime. Or whatever it's going to ruin. But it's physical. And the Bible talks about our physical bodies. What does it say? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Let's start there. The Apostle Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your body," he's talking about a physical body, "your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." So the first thing that the Lord says is that you don't own that body anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ owns it. He bought it. And when you got saved and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, moved in your body. And he owns it. And we are to yield to him and to yield to his wishes and his will with this body. Because your body is a temple now. Just like in the Old Testament, in Solomon's temple and the tabernacles and all that, they built that so God could dwell in it. And the Holy of Holies. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Paul says that. Listen to it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So right there, it takes the authority of your body away from you. And mine too. We're to present our bodies. Well, I think we're going to get that scripture. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the Bible says. That's the least we can do, since he's given us eternal life, and our body and our soul and our spirit are all going to be eternal, are all eternally saved and going to be completely saved when the Lord gives us our new body. And we're going to be completely with him without sin and all the things that the Bible tells us. And all you got to do is let him have your body to do his work while you're in the body here temporarily. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians, that the believer's physical body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is sacred. And it ought not be defiled by any known harmful substance. I mean, you know it's harmful, and they say it's harmful. I don't even know why they're putting them signs up acting like they care whether it's harmful. And I quit smoking. You see that all over the United States now. Come on, dial 1-800, need help to not smoke, blabbity, blabbity, blab. They don't care. You can go in any store, and the price of cigarettes, I used to buy a pack of cigarettes for, I think it was 50 cents. Now they're $7 a pack. But they want you to quit? Man, whose grandma are you trying to fool? $7 a pack? And they care if you're going to quit or not? Hogwash. Poppycock. And go try to convince your hog in the pen over there, that one. You know, they could care less. If they cared, they'd quit making it and quit selling it, if they cared. But they're never going to, because they lust, and the money is the root of all evil. Remember? The lust of it. And they're lusting at that cigarette money. They make you pay $7 a pack for 20 cigarettes. 35 cents a cigarette, I think, if my math is right. We used to pay less than that for a Coke and a pack of peanuts. Don't try to tell me I ain't their sucker today. Don't try to get it, sucker. Now, don't try to tell me this is not a humorous lesson. This is, I don't know how this has fallen in like that, but listen, don't try to tell me that they want you to quit. I'm done believing all that garbage that they say. They're a bunch of liars is what they are. They manufacture that junk and they sell it. And if they mean business, they'll quit it. And if the tobacco industry cared anything about lung cancer and cared anything about people, they'd shut her down, man. Don't tell me that garbage. Anyway, but the Lord is the one that we're concerned about and what His mind is concerning it. And He says that our body is the temple of the living God. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it is sacred to Him. And He bought it whenever He paid for it on, He paid for it on the cross. And when we believed, we were redeemed, your sins were forgiven, and that body was bought. And the Lord's going to put it back in the ground unless He comes first and changes it at the rapture. Or He's going to put it back in the ground, bring you on to heaven, and then He's going to bring us with Him and give Him bodies back brand new to us. A believer's physical body is the temple of the Holy Ghost for physical reasons now. All right, the next scripture that we want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." It didn't say send him to hell. He'll destroy your body. If he figures you don't care about it, then he's going to go on and destroy it. "Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." I suppose a lot of people that are born again, according to that scripture right there, that defile the temple of God, your body starts getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And you die a miserable death, or either you die an early death, or something like that. The Lord said that if you defile it and you don't care about it and you on purpose, intentionally defile that temple, your body, the Lord's, you're not going to get away with it, that God's going to destroy it somehow. I don't know exactly what the Lord means by that as far as destroying it, but I know it ain't got nothing to do with you going to hell. We're talking about the physical body that God the Holy Ghost dwells in. God the Holy Ghost does not dwell in an unsaved person's body. He dwells in born-again children of God's body, believers' bodies, physical bodies. That's who He dwells in. And He said that if you defile it, if any man defile the temple of God, the body, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temples ye are. Nothing confusion about that, is it? So, according to the Bible, is the physical body, even though it is fleshy and it is sinful and it's going back to the dirt and God's going to give us a new one, is it still important to the Lord? Yes, it is. It's important to Him because He dwells in you. That's what it says. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." God cares about that body. He bought it. It's His. Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Now that's the mindset that the Christian ought to have concerning your body. Not that you control it, not that it's yours. I mean, even when it comes to marriage, your body is not your own. The Bible says when you're married that the husband's body is the wife's and the wife's body is the husband's. Isn't that what it says? So God does take it personal when it comes to this business about physical reasons having to do with Christians smoking. Another scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "But I keep under my body." In other words, Paul's saying that he's the one that controls his body. His body does not control him. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul said out of his own mouth that he had problems with his flesh, that he had to bring it into subjection and control it, because it's the same as ours. It wants to be boss. And Paul said right there that it keeps under my body, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, be a stinking hypocrite and be non-effective to the people and about the truth of God and about preaching having to do with the body and how Christians ought to be if a preacher's defiling his own body. Right? That's just the way it is. I mean, if you're going to tell somebody else that God says that you ought to take care of your body and you ought not do this and you ought to do this and that's what God's word says, then the preacher ought to be doing it too, right? Yeah. You say, "Well, Brother TV, are you keeping your body on?" I sure am, just as best as I can. And it ain't easy. It ain't easy. I hadn't smoked a cigarette in I don't know how long. When I used to drink, I'd probably light one up in the middle of my drunken stupor, yeah. But as far as smoking every day and carrying a pack around, I hadn't done that in a long time. But every now and then, it's got to hit just right. But when I sit down and eat a good meal and push away from the table, my flesh will try to remind me of how that good cigarette after a meal was. Yeah. Yep. And it'll come, and I'll throw him down, throw that thought down just as fast as I can. And that's what you do, casting down imaginations and every thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity. Yep. Yep. That's the way. For physical reasons. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, what we just read, the Apostle Paul kept his physical body well by keeping it under subjection. And if the Apostle Paul has to do it, we have to do it. And the Bible teaches us all over the place that when you're suffering for Christ and you're going to really submit to the Lord and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be submissive to Him and to what God's will is, no matter what you go through, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you're going to suffer one way or another. And that's what we don't want to do. Nobody, I don't like suffering. But that's part of being a Christian. That's part of following the Lord Jesus Christ, is denying ourselves and minding the Lord. And minding the Lord. So for physical reasons, the Bible's very clear on that, that God wants us to take care of these bodies and not intentionally and on purpose defile them or to hurt them in any way, or to put anything in them. I mean, there's worse things than tobacco that you can put in. I'm not giving you a reason. I'm just saying there is worse things that you can put in your body than tobacco. But and some people do, and I did. But we're talking about smoking. You say, "Well, Brother TV, I don't like this." Well, I don't like it either. I'd rather just not have ever known anything about a cigarette and never see another cigarette in my life and not ever lust after a cigarette and not ever known anything about a cigarette. First cigarette I ever smoked, I stole a pack of Parliament from my grandma. Went out in the woods with somebody and didn't know anything about smoking. Like to choke myself to death. Went and hid under a bridge and smoked them. Or smoked and choked. But for physical reasons, the Bible does make it clear that God cares about your body. It's His, and if you're a born-again child of God and you smoke, I condemn thee not, but that's what the Bible says, that you're to take care of that body as God's temple, and He does dwell in you, and He does care. So you need to make a decision and make some decisions or pray on it and ask the Lord to help you. And get some other Christians, tell them what the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am also. If you get two or three people with you and you explain the situation to them and that you want to be a good servant of the Lord, but this is the problem, and get two or three of y'all praying about that thing, God says and promises that He'll pay more attention. He'll hear you a lot quicker about that and care about your problem. And help you with it. He will help you. He said, well, what am I going to do if I quit smoking? We're going to get in the Word of God and start relying on the Word of God and wait on Jesus. That's what we're going to do, just like what we're doing right now. And then when the devil figures out and the flesh figures out that you're not going to be messing with that stuff anymore and you're done with it, and through prayers and God's power, then the desire and all that, the flesh will start leaving you alone. Mm-hmm. It's a battle. It sure is. It sure is. Ain't nothing easy about it. But it gives God glory, and those that honor the Lord. The Bible says, there is that maketh himself rich, and yet hath nothing. And there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. When you put yourself in a position to submit to the Lord, and it has to do with suffering, you can believe that God takes notice of that. The Bible says that God is well pleased with somebody that suffers for righteousness' sake. And is it suffering for righteousness' sake to try to stop your flesh from smoking cigarettes just because God's Word says that it hurts your body and your body is the temple of God? You better believe God cares about that. And it is righteousness. And He will help you. He's not going to sit back and say, well, let's see how she does or how he does. That's not the way the Lord is. The Bible says that the Lord pities us and that He loves us and He cares about us and He helps us, and He does. But He's not manipulated in any way. He knows what sincerity is. He knows who means it, and He knows how hard it is. And He knows how sinful that flesh is and how that flesh gives you such a hard time. He knows. And I'm speaking to myself, too. For physical reasons, all right? Another thing that the Bible gives us, God's Word gives us, as far as evidence, it does not say thou shalt not smoke. But it does give us evidence. And one of it is for physical reasons. Another one's for emotional reasons. For emotional reasons. Now, many take up serious smoking and drugs because of underlying emotional causes. You know, insecurity and anxiety and whatever you want to say, etc. All kinds of reasons. It becomes a deadly power over a Christian. I mean, there's people that are dying of lung cancer that are smoke a cigarette until they die. They die with one in their mouth. And I used to light cigarettes with cigarettes. That's how much I smoked. But it's deadly. And it becomes a deadly power over you emotionally. be in control by anything other than God, the Holy Ghost, and God's Word can develop into terrible consequences. That's why once you get away from it, that's why the Lord said, don't go around it, don't go around anybody that does it, don't smell it, don't sniff it, don't look at it, get away from it. The only way to escape something and get away from it is to turn your back to it and get away from it. All this drug business about, I'm rehabilitating and I'm re-this and re-that. No, you either doing it or thinking about doing it or either running from it and getting away from it. I used to do drugs. I know all about that. I tell you about what that's about. And I ran a camp up there for troubled men for, I was there for 10, 11 years. And I know drug addicts, and I know the drug world, and I know how powerful that stuff is over a man's mind and over his heart, even when he is a Christian and the most sincere Christian. The devil uses that like crazy, and I can imagine. I mean, the cigarettes is kind of minuscule when it starts getting into heroin and getting into Oxycontin and getting into using that needle. It gets devilish and you cross lines. But it gets very serious and there's terrible consequences about it. Well, what's the Bible say? Well, Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's what I was just talking about a minute ago. Tell God what you want. Tell Him what you want to do. Tell Him you want to be faithful. The Bible says be careful for nothing. It's not talking about don't care for anything, or it's talking about be careful, be full of care. Be so full of caring that it drives you nuts about something. The Lord tells us not to care about things that much. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The believer's supposed to be careful, in other words, full of care or anxious about something, for nothing. But to learn to trust in the Lord for all things. That's easier said than done, but it is done. All it takes is if there be a willing mind first. And the Lord comes alongside and He gives you the power to do everything that you need to do. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure things out on your own. In all, how much? All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now that's either the truth or it's a lie. But it's God's word and it's truth. And the Lord said so. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's what He said. Has the Lord ever let you down? Has He ever said something and you sincerely trusted in Him and took His word for it and believed Him and took a chance and He let you down? No, He has not. He ain't never let nobody down. The Lord's never, ever. I've sat down and examined it in detail in my life and looked through my life to try to find a place that the Lord's let me down. And He's never let me down. He's always been there. Been going on 42 years that I've been saved. And He's had to come get me two or three times. Maybe more than that. I know He's protected me from a lot of things too. But I was one of them special students. I had to go to special classes. But I'm old enough now where I'm learning a little bit. and I'm starting to enjoy the Lord and having a better relationship with Him. And I ain't no more special than you. The Bible says the Lord's got us in class and He's teaching us, and He is, and you know that just as much as I do. But for emotional reasons, God don't want us all tore up all the time in our mind that we have to carry around a pack of cigarettes and suck on them to keep ourselves emotionally. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, you're talking to a man that... Well, I was going to get into a little bit about what my mind's like and what I've been through, and I will, but I know what I'm talking about that sound mind. Sound mind is something that you get when you're completely devoted to the Lord, when you devote yourself to the Lord and don't have any training, don't have anybody else's training wheels on you. When you just submit yourself and trust the Lord gives you the power to get through things. And sometimes it's scary. A lot of times it's scary. But it ain't scary because God's going to let us down or not. It's scary because just some of the things that we didn't know about before, you know. I mean, we're learning. One of the scariest times in your life is when you start school. Now, believing and doing, Philippians 4, that we just got through reading there, Philippians 4, 4 through 9, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. We didn't get through reading. I didn't read it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, either Paul's a liar or he's not, and Paul didn't have no reason to lie. Paul had everything he wanted before he got saved and even had the authority to go around killing Christians and everything else. And he said, every bit of that is dung since I've met the Lord. And Paul completely put his trust in the Lord, and the Lord told him whenever he seen him on Damascus Road, he seen Jesus, and Jesus told him, you're going to suffer for me. And Paul got saved right there, and from then on he moved in to learn that he was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles and bring in the new covenant and the new testament, and was going to see the transition of the Old Testament over the New Testament and everybody, the gospel of the grace of God and all that stuff that he was involved in. But he said, and the God of peace shall be with you. We got to start thinking the right way. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. For emotional reasons. Now, believing and doing Philippians 4, 4 through 9 does away with anything that tries to overpower us and control us. By minding God's word, some problems we never have. God is right. All we have to do is make our mind up and have a willing mind. And the Lord will take care of it. He knows how to heal a body, and he knows how to heal a mind. In the Scriptures, there's just as many places where the Lord came up and people had mental problems and were, they were crazy. And the Bible don't say crazy. It uses a couple other words I can't think of right now. But anyway, the maniac of Gadara, and there's some other mental things that the Lord healed. It said, and he sat there at Jesus' feet, being in his right mind. In his right mind. You know, the Lord can beat that thing that controls your mind to try to make you run after a cigarette. I mean, just us talking about it right now, your mind is probably trying to make you put a death grip on that pack of cigarettes. I understand that. I know. But the Lord can give us the power. He gives us the power to be at peace, and them things not be controlling us. And the Lord's Paul said that I'll not be brought under the power of anything. And that's one thing that them cigarettes do emotionally and through our minds is that they control us. They control us. Just like that booze did, and the way that gambling can get, and sometimes it's awful funny that everybody says, we care about 1-800 don't gamble, 1-800 quit smoking, 1-800 blabbity blabbity blab, but they just steady building and opening them up, ain't they? I heard whenever I used to truck for a little while and went travel across the United States, you know, driving a truck and stuff like that. And I heard, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but that one of the most expensive loads that you can get, I mean, a valuable load that's put in that trailer that you haul from one place to another, one of the most expensive loads that you can get is a load of cigarettes. Ain't that crazy? They say one of the most expensive loads that you can get when that trailer's packed full of something and you're taking it from one place to the other is a pack of cigarettes. And that's something. And that's something. For physical reasons. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about X-rated for Christians. We're talking about why Christians don't smoke. Why they don't smoke. We ain't said that you ought to quit smoking. Ain't nobody said that. Quit smoking, you stupid. Quit smoking. Well, ain't nobody said that. Nobody's going to say it. Not in this lesson. But what the Bible is teaching us is that God does care. God does care, and he said that body belongs to him, and he wants you to understand that, and he wants you to act on it. And then he says, as far as emotional reasons, that he cares about the way you feel and the way that your mind is and the way that you think. And he knows what kind of he knows what them cigarettes do to you. He knows them cigarettes try to control you. He knows that tobacco, he knows that flesh calls for that stuff and won't leave you alone, tries to drive you nuts. He knows that. But he has provisions for it if you're willing. If you're willing. The Lord said he would never let us down. He'd never let us down. And he said that if we ask for anything, he will do it. As long as there be a willing mind. And that's what I'm telling you. You ought to get with a couple of brothers and sisters and people that you trust, that you know that will pray and that are sincere and that have a relationship with the Lord. And if you want to attack that thing, then get some honesty in it and some and be genuine about it and go and talk to them and pray and say, I wish y'all just help me with this and let's get a hold of the Lord. I want this thing out of my life. And watch what happens. I mean, if God don't help you with it, what's that make? That makes him a liar. Because the Bible said, no good thing would the Lord withhold from them that love him. And is it good for you to quit that smoking and for it to quit controlling you and for you to be at peace and and not have that stuff controlling you? Yes. Well, try him, as the Lord said, try him. Try him. See if he'll do what he says. He will. I'm telling you, he will. You can trust him. It's just got to get yourself to the place to where you'll fight that flesh, and even though you're smoking and stuff like that, you get you start fighting that flesh, and you start getting some ammunition in your corner, and start getting God involved in it, getting the Lord involved in it. When the Lord sees that's what you're sincere about and that you're willing to do what it takes, that the Lord will step alongside. And we're just talking about cigarettes, which is pretty powerful as far as trying to control you and stuff like that. But I've seen men, I've seen God help a lot of fellas that are on some stuff a lot stronger than that. A lot stronger than that. He helped me. He helped me. He helped me. And he's helped a lot of others, too. And he'll help you. You're just as special to him as any of his other youngins. And one more thing. Not only is it for emotional reasons and for physical reasons, but it's for spiritual reasons. For spiritual reasons. I mean, you probably had an idea what this lesson was going to be about. And you had an idea what the scripture already said, even though you might not have known some of the scriptures that we already talked about or whatever. You might have known it all. But walking around, and you know you can't hide nothing from the Lord. We can't. We don't hide nothing from the Lord. And when we're walking around and we're being controlled by something like that, smoking and stuff like that, we have to walk around feeling guilty all the time before the Lord, because we know we want to stop, but we know that we ain't going to, because we know that the flesh is going to give us a hard time, and then we feel guilty about that and feel weak and feel like we ain't a good Christian and feel like this and blabbity, blabbity, blah. It's just a big, wicked circle that goes round and round, ain't it, all the time. For spiritual reasons. Smoking, a Christian that smokes, it has to do with your testimony. Your testimony for before people is important, and you want it to be important. You want your testimony to stand up and shine for the Lord, because it's the difference in right and wrong, and the world should perceive a Christian to be clean in his habits and morals and disciplines. One of the things that the world loves to do, I mean, they know what Christianity is, and they know what following Christ is all about, it takes discipline and it takes suffering, and they know. That's why they try to destroy you and trip you all the time. Because they want to watch you fall. And say, ha, 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 ha. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world, and don't conform yourself to this world, and don't look like the world, smell like the world, and whatever the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we just got through talking about on the emotional part, remember? The renewing of your mind. Start thinking different. Train yourself in God's Word to think different. When you're praying and you're asking God to change your thinking, change your mind, and you see those cigarettes, they control our mind. They control our thinking. And the Lord said to renew your mind. Transformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That it's possible for a Christian to walk upright without being controlled by the world, but controlled by the power of God, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God. But how do you do it? You present your body, you pick your body up, and you sacrifice it to the Lord. And you make sure that your body is holy
and you make sure that your body is acceptable unto God. And when it comes to smoking, the only way that you can present it to the Lord, we can't present our body to the Lord while we're putting toxins in it on purpose. And we're allowing our mind to be controlled by something, by something the world come up with to try to try to hold us down. We can't present them holy and acceptable unto God, because it's just not acceptable to God. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to fight it, depend on Him, use His power, and let Him help you out of it, and forget it forever. I'm not saying, I condemn thee not, because I know. But there has to be a willing mind. All the scriptures, plainly command us that we are not to put a stumbling block out in front of any other brother to Christ. Now, if his relationship with the Lord and the scriptures are hindered because he sees a Christian he respects riding around smoking and acting like it's not a big deal, it could make him stumble in his faith. Romans chapter 14, 21 says, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." He said anything. If one of my Christian brothers or sisters or somebody that's growing in the Lord, and they look at my life and they respect me and they look at my life and they see my walk is supposed to encourage them and is supposed to give them grace to where they want to draw nearer to the Lord and even be more holy before the Lord and acceptable before the Lord. Not having to be confused about something of whether something is right or wrong or blah 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 blah. It ain't about heaven and hell. You're already saved. You're on your way to heaven. It's about obedience, and it's about doing what's right and walking before the Lord while we're in these bodies to be pleasing to Him. That's what it is. I ain't pointing my finger at you. I know about that tobacco, and I know what it does, and I know how it controls you. And if I was to pick one up again and start smoking and start depending on it, that'd be the only reason I'd pick it up. And it probably would take away some of my frustrations and things like that. The devil would be sure of it. But then I'd be disappointed in myself, and there's a battle for me to start fighting again and and how many years am I going to have to waste of my walk with the Lord to try to get this monkey off my back, you see? Thing about it is just get on the Lord's side and fight, and the Lord will come up, the Lord will bring the power in that you need to whip that thing, and you'll not have that monkey on your back choking you down all the time and trying to control you and tell you what to do and what not to do. The Apostle Paul said he would not be brought under the power of anything. You say, well, what does that mean? That means anything that tries to get your thinking or to take power over you and take your devotion and your allegiance away from Christ and from His Word, you are to avoid it and get away from it and to escape it. The Bible uses the word escape. The Bible says, deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Some things just... Remember when the Lord was talking about when the apostles come and ask Him, said, how come we couldn't cast them devils out? And the Lord told them at first it was because of your lack of faith. But then He said, these come out only by prayer and fasting. There's some things that are more powerful than others and have devils behind them that are going to fight and try to keep you down and keep you held down and keep you under the influence of wickedness and so that you won't do anything for the Lord. You're already saved. They can't do nothing about that. But they can stop you from getting anybody else in the kingdom of God. And they can use your influence and your testimony to discourage others or either to confuse them and waste years and years and years of fruit to where they won't grow, you see, or you won't grow. One of the greatest obstacles of winning someone to the Lord Jesus Christ is walking up there and acting like you done, smelling like you licked an ashtray. I mean, that's just the way it is, brothers and sisters. And if you're smoking, it ain't going to be easy, but the Lord will get you through it. And I ain't saying that just happenstance and blabbity blabbity, and I ain't saying it like military orders, like you're a Christian and you ought to be. What I'm saying is we see what the Bible says, and we're talking about the topic of smoking and X-rated for Christian. There's no good thing in the flesh, and there's nothing that appeals to the flesh that's good for us as far as taking control of us and taking control of our flesh. Either the Lord's controlling you. Well, I ain't going to say it like that. If them cigarettes got control of you and they're controlling you, just get started praying and be honest with the Lord and tell him the truth. And then get you some Christian brothers and sisters you trust. And get a plan and have the Lord involved in it, and then start working on it and watch how the Lord will take them things. He might take them right away from you and take your desire for them away. And then again, he might make you dwindle down and wean off. I don't know. But I know he does it. And I know he promised that he wouldn't leave us alone. That if that was something that we wanted to do, was draw nearer to him and be more righteous and do righteousness, the Lord blesses that above all. He blesses that. If you want to do good, the Lord will help you do good. But if you're going to keep on smoking, some of these things that we talked about in the scriptures, and if you're going to keep on smoking, you might as well expect this kind of stuff to come along, because the Lord says it's going to come along. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When somebody looks at your life, they ought to see the light of Jesus shining out of you so bright that, and they see your, and they see it through your good works and the things, not under the law or lawish kind of stuff like that. It's sincerity and truth. And they see your devotion to the Lord and your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And they, even your enemies will tip their hat to somebody that's got character. If somebody could hate your guts for being a Christian, being involved with Christ, but they'll tip their hat to you and respect you because of your character that you have. Right? Yeah. Listen to this. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Amen. So the scriptures don't say anywhere, "Thou shalt not smoke." But the Lord gives us a lot of evidence of why we should not, right? Of why we should not. And that was the whole question of the topic that we was talking about today. Why Christians don't smoke, you see? Okay, well, that'll do it. That'll do it for today. We said everything we need to say about that. And talking about X-rated for Christians, let me give you the scriptures for these. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. And those are the ones that we had today and that we talked about. God is a God of truth, and we love His Word, and we love Him, don't we? Yes, we do. He's our Lord, and He's our God, and He's coming for us, and even so come, Lord Jesus. But until then, we're going to do right because we want to do right, not because we have to do right, because you don't have to. God's not going to twist your arm and make you do right. He's going to beat the fire out of you if you're one of His youngins, and you'll eventually get the message, but we don't want to go there either. We want to be pleasing, and when the Lord looks at us, we want Him to smile and say, that's my girl, that's my boy. You see? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go into one more thing. It might take a lesson or two on this next one. X-rated for Christians. We're going to talk about why Christians do not dance. Why Christians don't dance. You're going to want to be in this one. Well, come on, we'll talk about it and see what God's Word says about it, and break it down and see what the Scriptures say about it and what God's truth says about dancing. Okay? Well, the Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.